God versus raises. Which one would win in a contest in your mind? Think about that for a while. What would you do if this happened to you? After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. What would you do? Would you turn down that request? You'd turn it down, right? Because there's really something else or someone else that you'd want to rather be with, right? Oh, you would accept the invitation? You would accept an invitation up into heaven? Are you sure? If God fought for your heart with, I don't know, you fill in the blank, who would you declare to be the winner? In the book of Hosea, in the Old Testament, Israel made a choice. They had a choice between God and raisins and some other things. And you won't believe what they chose. Let me show you now. Turn to the book of Hosea, if you're not there already. And notice, first of all, in chapter 2, verse 5, where God said this, for their mother, just referring to Israel, has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers, referring to the gods with a little g. The idols, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. The book of Hosea is about Israel's struggle with idolatry and why Israel would choose idols, dumb, dead, false gods over the one true God that we just saw referred to so magnificently in that reading that Caden did for us from the book of Revelation. So Israel said, okay, there's Jehovah God whom we've known all these years, but then there's these other new gods I found out, and they are the ones who give me my bread, my water, my wool, and my linen, my oil, and my drink, and that's what I want. When it comes down to a crust of bread or water or oil or something of that nature, they said, you know, between that and the true God, the decision was easy for them. I'll go after my lovers. Now, I'm sure you're going to say, well, actually, God's the one who gave them the bread and the water, the wool, the linen, the oil, and the drink, and so on. And that's true. But they were under the impression that the gods did it for them. So they made a choice. And they said, when it comes down to God versus bread, we choose bread. Wages. God versus wages. If I have to make a choice between God and wages, which one shall I choose? Well, let's listen to what Hosea 2:12 says. God said, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees of which she has said, of which Israel has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest and the beasts of the field shall eat them. You see, Israel said, well, the way that I get paid every week, the way I get paid every month or daily or whatever it was, it was all because of my lovers, because of the gods that I went after. I saw all these pagan peoples around us, surrounding us here in Israel, and I saw what they had, and they said it was their gods who gave it to them. So I said, well, I can stick with Jehovah God, whom we've been worshiping all these centuries, or I can go get this new stuff. And so they said, when it comes down to wages or God, sorry, God, but the money wins. Or how about this one? Turn to the next chapter. This is where I get the title of my sermon. God versus raisins. And just in case there's someone here who doesn't know what a raisin is, it's a piece of dried fruit. It's a grape that's been dried up and shriveled up. Now, before I read this, I want to give you some background as to what's going on here. God used Hosea and his wife to illustrate what was going on between God and his wife, so to speak, Israel. Hosea's wife was not faithful to him. She would go after lovers. Israel was not faithful to God. She would go after lovers. But then there was time for reconciliation, and that's where we come to in chapter 3. Hosea now needs to get his wife back in the same way that God was going to get Israel back. But before you read verses 2 and following and the rest of chapter 3, you come to verse 1, which reveals why, another reason why, Israel had chosen these other gods. Watch this now, Hosea 3:1. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman, that's your wife, who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. Now, did you see that? Did you see what God said there? He says, I know that Israel has gone after these lovers and the gods of the pagans because they get raisin cakes. Forget about the Creator. Forget about the one who saved our people with these 10 mighty plagues out of the land of Egypt. Forget about God who split the Red Sea open and brought our people across. Forget about the God who sustained our people in the wilderness for 40 years, although they didn't have to bake their food or the bread anyways, and they didn't have to grow their food, they didn't have farms and so forth and so on. Forget all the miracles that have been taking place since then. We really like raisin cakes. Now, to me, that almost sounds like fruitcake. I know this is the time of year when people give fruitcake. You know, I guess some people really like that stuff. So much so that if it comes down to a decision between do I follow God or do I get my raisin cakes, they say, give me the raisins. What are you talking about here? I mean, you got to eat, right? That's the decision they made. Turn your backs on Jehovah God the Creator and let's have some sweet dessert to eat. Seems unbelievable to me. How about this next one? Now turn to chapter 4, verse 13. God versus shade. Now, I know it gets hot in Palestine. There's no doubt about it. And, I've been to, I've been to hot places. I live in Grants Pass, Oregon, where I've seen 112 at least one time here in the summer. And you don't want to stand in the sun too long. I grew up in Southern California. Let me tell you, it gets hot down there. So I know shade is precious. But listen to this. Hosea 4:13. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills. Now, look at the other place. Under oaks, poplars and terebinths. Those are all trees. Because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry. And he's speaking about spiritual idolatry here. And your brides commit adultery. Because they can worship these gods in the shade and make the sacrifices in the shade of an oak tree. Well, come on, which one do we pick here, God? Do we go for you? Or do we go for these gods that promise us a little shade in this 105 degree temperature today? And they said, we'll take the shade any day. Shade. Personal comfort. That's far more important to us than my spiritual relationship with the God of the universe. Chapter 8 now, verse 11. God versus sin. Here God refers to Israel using Ephraim, that one particular tribe, half-tribe, to just symbolize the whole nation. Because Ephraim has made many altars for sin, they have become for him altars for sinning. You see, God gave them the Ten Commandments, and he gave them many other laws that said, now Israel, here's how I want you to live. And he also said, here's some things I don't want you to do. But the gods said, you know, you can do those things. It's okay. You come worship me, and I not only give you raisins and shade and water and bread and wages, but I'll also let you do what you want to do. So you can worship a God that gives you that spiritual fulfillment and makes you feel good, but you can also do those other questionable behaviors that Israel's God says you shouldn't be engaging in. The next one, God versus higher. Hosea 9, verse 1. Again, God reveals another reason why they had gone after idols. Do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other peoples, for you have played the harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every threshing floor. Every place where you could set up a god, you did it. Because the pagans would pay you to do it. And so you did it. Chapter 9, verse 10. God versus an abomination. And this is kind of like the last one. You can just fill in. Or the two ones ago about God versus sin. Just fill in the blank. Whatever the sin is, or in this case, whatever the abomination is. Hosea 9, verse 10. The Lord said, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves to that shame. They became an abomination like the thing they loved. Baal Peor, one of the gods of the Canaanites, who sure didn't do a very good job keeping the Israelites out. Israel finally decides, well, maybe that God isn't so bad. And so they worshiped that God, they engaged in the abominations of that God, and so they became an abomination like the thing that they loved, the Lord said. Chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. God versus wealth. Now, I know this sounds very similar to two that we've already looked at, but I want to make a little bit of a distinction here. Hosea 12, 8 through 10, God versus wealth. And Ephraim said, again, the half-tribe is standing for the whole nation, surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors, they shall find in me no iniquity that is sin. I'm not doing anything wrong here. But then God says, but I am the Lord your God. Ever since the land of Egypt, I will again make you dwell in tents as in the days of the appointed feast. I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. So while God was highly insulted and offended and hurt and even angered by Israel's actions, yet you can see here that he's still loving them. Israel, you're saying that you have become rich and wealthy without me. You have not given me the credit for it, but I've been your God for centuries. Since the time you were in the land of Egypt, I've been your God. I've been the one who's been sustaining you this whole time. I'm the one who's been making you rich and wealthy. And we even see here in a few moments how he warned them in the law of Moses about this very thing. But before we go to that, let's go to the next one in Hosea. Hosea 13, verse 1. God versus me, or God versus self. God acknowledges that Israel or Ephraim had become exceedingly powerful and highly respected. Watch how he says it. When Ephraim spoke, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended through Baal worship, he died. Ephraim / Israel became powerful and presented to us prophets that have now been preserved for us in Holy Scripture. And when those prophets spoke, people trembled. And so what did Ephraim or Israel then do? Look how fabulous we are. Look how great I am. I'm it. I am the highest of the nations. I'm the best. We don't need Jehovah God, Yahweh God. Let's worship Baal. And then began their downslide. And they went down bad, and they went down hard. So when it came down to the exalted self for God, well, they said, well, God, who are you kidding? I mean, of course we're going to pick ourselves. It's all about us. It's not about you. And so they turned their backs on their Creator, their Savior and Redeemer. One more. Verse 6. God versus being filled. God versus being filled. Hosea 13, verse 6. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. They forgot the Lord. And in the beginning of the book of Hosea, God had said that. He had said, here's the problem. In Hosea 2, verse 8, we learn what it is that Israel had forgotten and why they made all these choices. You know, the bread, the wages, the raisins, and all those other ridiculous things that people would choose over the Lord God. Here's what Hosea 2:8 says. For she, Israel, did not know that I gave her new wine and oil, or her grain, new wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. They thought Baal or some other god was the one who was giving them all these things, but it was me. God says it was me who gave them all these things. although they didn't give me the glory for it, but they gave the glory to someone else. So God gave them bread. God gave them their wages. God gave them grapes, hence raisins. God gave them sun and shade. God gave them prosperity. God gave them their holy rules by which they could live. And God was the one who gave them their wealth. And he had warned them. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man, I wish somehow that I could get all of America to listen to this chapter right here. I think Americans need to know the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of John and Jeremiah 7 and Deuteronomy 8. I wish I could just do a gospel meeting for the whole nation and those would be the four things that I'd teach. Let me just give you a little bit, a few tidbits here from Deuteronomy 8. Verse 2 says, "And you, Israel, shall remember that the Lord your God," and then he went on to say all the good things he did for them. Verse 10, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God." And what did we just see from Hosea? Especially Hosea 2:8. Verse 12, "Lest," you know, if you forget God, "lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell on them," and he listed several other things, and then verse 14, "when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God." 17 and 18, "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have given me this wealth. But God said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." So Moses wrote that down for us. The Holy Spirit wrote that, or had it preserved for us. And James, I think, echoes what God said through Moses, that every perfect gift and every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. What good do you enjoy in your life? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And it is the Lord. Even as God blessed Israel, so God has blessed the church. And God has certainly blessed the church in America. What the Bible says of God and Israel, the Bible also says of God and the world. Now I'd like you to go to Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas have healed a man crippled from birth. He's never walked before. They heal him, and now he walks for the first time in his life. And that amazed the people. So Acts 14 verse 11 says this, "Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, 'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men.'" And so the people wanted to do what you always do to gods. You sacrifice to them. Verse 13, "Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. However, watch what Paul and Barnabas do and listen to what they say." This is very important, okay? Watch this now, verse 14. "But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, 'Men, why are you doing these things?'" It's kind of like, haven't you been hearing what we've been preaching to you? "We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." It was the true God the Father of Jesus Christ, the one that we've been preaching to you about, that's the one who has given you all these good things, not myself and Barnabas. But that's a common problem to all people at any time in history, attributing the source of blessings to a source other than God. Have you attributed the good in your life, the good in our nation, the good in the church, to something, to God or to something else? Now, Satan does not want you to give glory to God. Satan wants the glory, although he's satisfied if you don't give the glory to God, but you give it to someone else. Satan will be happy not to receive the glory, just as long as you're not glorifying God. I think it's interesting that Satan offered to Jesus during his temptation, remember that, just before he began his ministry? He offered him all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus would just fall down and worship Satan. And Jesus rebuked the devil. But Satan did not have to offer all the kingdoms of the world to Israel during Hosea's day. He just had to offer them, you know, a few raisins, a couple of hours of shade, some good homemade bread. And they said, hey, that's enough. What do you want? We'll do it. Forget about the God we've been worshiping all these times. Who wins in your heart? God or raisins? Is there a raisin that you've already chosen? Please think about it. Please think about why you have not lived a full-fledged, born-again, totally committed, God-praising, God-fearing, sin-denying Christian life. Someday life will end and eternity will begin. Are you willing to give up eternity with God for fill in the blank? And whatever it is that gives you enjoyment, that is keeping you from following God, or Jesus in particular, what's going to happen if, when that's all gone and eternity has begun? What would you do if this happened to you? After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. I'm telling you, that is you. When you get to the end of the book of Revelation, the Spirit says, come. And the bride, the church, says, come. That's the whole message of the Bible, is it not? God is saying, I want you to come up here with me. So then, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to state your belief? Are you willing to change your life to harmonize with what you now believe? Are you ready to be baptized? If so, come forward now as we stand and sing.